Cross the Border. My website, crosstheborder.org. And we're going through Exodus, the Ten Commandments. And I'm getting a whole lot out of this. I hope that you're getting as much or maybe more than I am out of this study here. And we're in Exodus chapter 20. Let's see, where did we leave off? Oh yes, Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which Yahuwah thy God giveth thee. So there's a promise given with obedience, and that is the promise of days that may be long upon the land. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. Of course, we know that is referring to murder. Previously, after Noah went through the ark and through the flood, and they got off the ark, he was given the capital punishment statute that for the life of man, or the blood of man, the life of man shall be required by man. So it was in the hands of man to punish for murder. So and the capital punishment statute was given to Noah. At the same time, he said, at the hand that God shall require the blood of every animal. So against the statute was also at the same time against just the wanton destruction of the life of any animal. Of course, they were given the sacrificial rite, and Noah was also told that now they could eat meat, you know, which had been previously they'd eaten with the sacrifice, because they didn't just make the sacrifice of the animal and let the meat spoil, but they ate the sacrifice as part of the sacrificial rite. If you go forward into the law, you find that out. It's evident, and any Jew or Hebrew, that would be evident. It would be a given that they ate the sacrifice. But he declares to Noah that now, as you ate the green herb, you know, the green herb was given for food in general, now they could eat meat in general too, and not just the green herb, and that the meat, the flesh of animals was not just for the sacrifice, but it was also for sustenance and nutritional value for them. But against wanton killing of animals, or just the torture of animals, to have respect for the animal kingdom out there. And I think that had a lot to do with the earth being filled with violence. It just against the wanton killing of men and creature alike, which must have been going on in the earth. That's why he coupled those two together. So murder, capital punishment, the statute was given. That's what it's referring to here. And also the ordinance was given against just the wanton killing. So if you kill for food or you kill for the sacrifice as required by the law, then there's no guilt. But if you're just out there hunting for sport or for trophies or just for the fun and the torture of animals, then you're going to be accountable to the Creator. But there was no capital punishment for that part of the statute, so which is clear in when the ordinance was given. But here it just plainly in the King James Version says, thou shalt not kill. And if you mouse over the kill, the 75:23 in the Hebrew, it boils down to murder. And thou shalt not commit adultery. That's verse 14. Of chapter 20 of Exodus. That's one of the commandments. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, a woman that breaketh wedlock, adultery. What is adultery? Well, this is not going to be popular. According to the law of God, adultery is not the same as the word adultery has in meaning today in the world. And because adultery, according to the scripture, always involves a man with the wife of another man. And if you don't have that combination, then you don't have adultery. So it's always a man with the wife of another man. That's adultery. as regards the marital statute. And I cover this thoroughly in my betrothal, marriage, and divorce series, which I did several years ago. And if you'd like a link to that, you have to ask me for a link to that too. So email me if you want to, if you want the link to the study on my betrothal, marriage, and divorce study. I believe it's 10 parts, 10 hours, and but leave no stone unturned in that study. But divorce plainly is a man with the wife of another man. They both commit adultery, and according to the statute, the ordinances given in the Word of God, it's a capital offense. Both the man and the woman were to be put to death. Both of them. And I discussed this a few days ago, and do I think that's a good idea? Well, a lot of people will assail the Word of God. Oh, you don't think that, you know, yeah, well, it's because it's accepted today that adultery is, well, it's okay. Yeah. It's not against the law. It's certainly not a capital offense. But I'll tell you what, if it was a capital offense, then nobody would be doing it, would they? It would be hard to come across anyone doing adultery if it was a capital offense. It's like murder. You know, there'd be a lot more murder going on if there was no, if people did not fear the punishment. I mean, I know that every single one of us, you know, that is a grown man has felt like killing somebody at some time or the or other. We've had it feelings like that. But we know that, you know, as much as I would like to have killed a few people in my life, they weren't worth the punishment that I would get. They weren't worth a life sentence in prison or being put to death for. They weren't that valuable. It wasn't worth it to carry it out. So fortunately for them, huh? But you know, those are feelings we all have. And you know, even our master said that if you hate your brother without a cause, that you're a murderer. He raised the standard. Here, it's the law, and as the scribes, the Pharisees, and the hypocrites taught, that it was only committing the act that was the actual sin. But if you wanted to commit it, well, that wasn't a sin. If you wanted to commit adultery, well, our Messiah, he raised the standard. He said, if you look on another man's wife to lust after her, that you've already committed adultery in your heart. If you hate your brother without a cause, I'm sure glad he said that, without a cause, that you're a murderer in your heart. Well, I've been hated without a cause, without a righteous cause. There is a righteous cause to hate. You know, I mean, even our Heavenly Father said, Jacob I have loved, but Esau I have hated. So, I mean, there is a righteous cause to hate. We don't have to love everybody, do we? I haven't found that command, thou shalt love everybody. Well, it's not in there. It's, hatred is sometimes, you know, hate the sin, but love the sinner. Well, that's a popular saying today, isn't it? No. Yes. Anyway, I think I'll just leave that alone from there. Oh, yes. Just make sure you don't hate. If you hate someone, just make sure you're not doing it without a righteous cause. Can you righteously hate someone? And, well, I definitely hate evil, and I hate sin. And I don't know if I really hate anybody, you know. I can't think of anybody I hate offhand. I felt that temptation, and I felt emotions that accompany hatred, and that's a temptation to internalize and to entertain those emotions and reinforce them. That's really it. When you allow hatred to consume you, you know, and turn you into a bitter person, well, then it just turns on you. It isn't worth it. And the people that are worthy of my hatred, yeah, they aren't worth the effort. So let it go. That's all I can say. If you're consumed with hatred and bitterness toward anybody, just let it go. They aren't worth it. You're worth a lot more than that. Just let it go. Pray for them even. Perhaps they may obtain eternal life, and you'll have something to discuss with them forever, you know. Yeah, let it go. Pray for your enemies. Pray for those that, you know, Yahshua said some wonderful things. He really raised the standard. Thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not commit adultery. So, adultery was a capital offense. I wish it was, but it's not anymore in the world that I live in, and I'm not going to execute the judgment because the adulterers aren't worth the price that I have to pay to execute judgment on them. So we'll move on from there. Perhaps that's already saying too much. Thou shalt not steal. Yes, property rights. Yeah, that's, you know, the opposite of that is that you are allowed to own stuff and to have it and to use it for your own purposes. You are allowed to have property. So we have property rights here. This is the property rights statute. Thou shalt not steal. Because if I don't have a right to take what is yours and doesn't belong to me, that means you have a right to keep what is yours according to his law, and I don't have the right to take it. And we can get into the theft by proxy. You know, there's a lot of that going on. And, oh, yes, while we're into it, thou shalt not steal. Theft by proxy. That's why I can't take part in the socialist security scheme, because it's against his law. And wrote me a little thing here. So, let's see. Old and New Testament law prohibiting participation in Social Security by citizens of his kingdom. Exodus 20:17. Oh, well, thou shalt not steal. I don't have that one. But thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Well, how does that apply to Social Security or any theft by proxy? And if the government steals from you, that's theft by proxy. Somebody else is stealing for you in your stead, and you're accepting it. So, you know, it's like receiving stolen goods. That's theft by proxy. You know, you can be prosecuted for receiving stolen goods, you know, in America. So, this is no different. It's receiving stolen goods because they're taking a gun out there to my neighbor, and they're saying, pay this. You know, so that we can give it to your neighbor. So they're stealing by force, by the use of a gun, basically armed robbery, the threat of imprisonment or whatever, to steal from my neighbor for me. Nope, I can't do it. So, and it's voluntary, so I don't have to participate. There's no law that requires me to contract or do business with the Social Security Administration. So, therefore, I don't have to do business with them. So, I refuse. Want nothing to do with those people, and I don't want them stealing for me, because I'm not coveting my neighbor's goods. I don't want my neighbor to have to take care of me when I get old. It's my job to not abandon the benefits of my Heavenly Father and rely solely on Him, rather than look to the government and the benefits of their system so that they can steal from my neighbor to provide for me. Proverbs, now this one just goes right to the point. Proverbs 1:10. My son, if unbelievers entice thee, consent thou not. So what is an enticement? Benefits. That's an enticement is a benefit. You're going to get something out of the deal. Right? And it says here, if unbelievers entice thee. Well, these systems are not set up to forget not his benefits, but they're to enjoy the benefits of the world system, of the images of the world, of these false images, these likenesses of things that are in heaven, so that you can bow down and worship them. My son, if unbelievers entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. Well, I mean, you can't get any more exacting language. Cast in your lot with us. Unbelievers entice you. Say, yes, look at the benefits you'll get. Cast in your lot with us. Let us all have one purse. Isn't that what Social Security is? You're casting in your lot. You're having one purse with unbelievers. And they're enticing you with what? Benefits. Well, this is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 10. Yep, my son, if unbelievers entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Refrain thy foot from their path. Isn't that interesting? I bet you never read that or even heard that in that kind of in that light before. Theft. Theft by proxy. Coveting your neighbor's goods. Look at the benefits you'll get. We'll hold it. We'll stick up your neighbor. Make him pay. If he doesn't pay, we'll throw him into prison. Because once he signs on the dotted line, once he signs for benefits, and we'll trick him into signing for benefits. Because that's what they do. They've deceived everyone into signing up for benefits. When all these people, everyone that signed up for benefits, they didn't, well, I wouldn't say everyone, but most of the people that signed up for benefits were tricked. They wanted to do a good thing. Because the scripture says, if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't eat. Right? Isn't that? So if you want to go out and labor and work hard to provide bread for yourself and your family and your loved ones, you're doing a good thing. Because a man who doesn't provide for his own is worse than an infidel. We go on and on. And you went out and you said, well, I got to work. And the employer, who is an agent of the government, because he's an employer, he's an agent of the government, he said, oh, if you want to work, you have to go get a social security number, then you can work. And then, so they tricked you into signing up for benefits. They said, oh, this is a great thing, because we're all going to have one purse, and you get to cast in your lot with us every month. Well, automatically take it out, because you're working now for our employer. We are your employment agency. Sign on the dotted line. And when you signed on the dotted line, you signed up for benefits, and you agreed to make them your employment agent. And they get the first portion of your check before you do every month. They get their portion first, and then they give you so much to live on. In other words, you have declared yourself incompetent because now they're going to take care of you when you get old or something, you get sick. They're going to take care of you. You've declared yourself incompetent to take care of your own affairs, and now they become your daddy, your nanny. The nanny state. And if you don't live up to your agreement now, because you've contracted with them, well, they will come after you. Oh, and I like what Paul said. He says, well, slaves, did you come to life while you were a slave? Did you enter into life a slave? He says, if you can be made free, rather use it. Yes, if you can put off your slavery, do it. But be wise as a serpent while you're doing it, and harmless as a dove. There's a way out of the contract. They can't make you use their number anymore, because their number identifies you as one of theirs. It's really silly. It says on the card, they have these cards, these social security cards, and it says, not to be used as identification. What? It's an identifying number. What else could it be used for? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. How deceptive can you get, and how obvious the deception? It is an identifying number. It identifies you as a member of their employment agency, as one of their employees. And every time you fill out a form, it says employee, and you fill it out for the employer. And, well, I refuse to be an employee or an employer. Those titles are not mine. I will serve the Lord, Yahuwah, my God, and I will serve Him till the day I die, and that's the day I will retire, and I will forget none of His benefits, because He will provide everything I need, as He promised, when He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven, and His righteousness, to do what's right is in His sight, and then He provides everything I need, food, clothing, housing, travel, the air I breathe, the water I drink, my health benefits, they all come from Him. I will not have one purse with the unrighteous. It is against my religion. So I'm a religious objector to the whole darn scheme, because it's against the law of my Heavenly Father. And I just read it to you. And there's more than that. Romans 13:8-10, I guess we'll finish up with this. since we're almost at the end of the show here, show time. Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything. See, when you sign up, then you owe your future labor. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. See, I love my neighbor. It's the endeavor of my life is to love my neighbor. So I fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, oh, this is Romans? The commandments? What's that doing in? I thought that was nailed to the cross, wasn't it? No. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. So if I covet my neighbor's future labor, I'm working ill to my neighbor. If I, by proxy, the power of the gun of the state or policy enforcers, force my neighbor to take care of me. Am I loving my neighbor? Am I fulfilling the law? No, it says here that this is the fulfilling of the law. What I just read you. What we've been going through. The law of his kingdom. And lastly, 2 Corinthians 6, 14 through 17. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, let's talk about having one purse. Casting in your lot. Being enticed by their benefits. So that's from the Old Testament. New Testament. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what accord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith Yahuwah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Yes, come out. Cross the border into the kingdom of heaven. Seek first, put his kingdom first before everything else. Seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, to be obedient to him, to do that which is right is in his sight first, and everything you need will be added to you. That's his promise. He will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. You may not get what you want, but you will get what you need. The alternative is, yes, you may seek things and you may or may not get them, but you will certainly become a slave to him. Do cross the border to his kingdom and live forever.